What I would like to do today is as follows. The title that was suggested was something to the order of, is Bituchen enough to assure that our children go in the proper derech? And the question maybe seems a bit bizarre, but I think it can serve as an opportunity to analyze some of the issues that we face today. Now, one might say that bituchen is really the only thing we could do, because we find that we have less and less influence on our children. So really, you know, where we thought once, I mean, parents used to say, I'm losing control over my children. I said, well, when did you get that control in the first place? You know, when they were three? No way, come on, by 3 years old, you know, they're not in control. They're not in control when they're newborn, you're not in control, you know, like, so it's not about control. It could be that the only thing we really can do is to daven and to trust Hashem that He's going to help us. But the truth of the matter is that we know, and that's lahalocha, that unless we're on this super level of bitochin and super level of tzidkis, so that's in itself a whole discussion, we need a shtadlus. We're not exempt from the mitzvah, let's call it, of hishtadlus. We even find that the Ovos made hishtadlus, and they were on a much higher level in their connection to Hashem, and yet they made hishtadlus for their children, and they had their issues with their children too. So certainly, certainly there's a lot that we have to do. So the short answer to that question is, we can't rely on bituchen alone. The bottom line to that question may be that after everything is said and done, we may have to, because we may not be able to succeed just with our hishtadlus. But we do have hishtadlus that we have to do. Now, hishtadlus, there are many definitions of the amount. There's definitions of the concept of hishtadlus, different opinions, and of the shear. How much hishtadlus? How much? Is there a shear? Everything possible, a little bit, a couple hours a day, a few efforts, a few. Rabbi Saul Salanta gave us a rule of thumb, which is reasonably accepted, I would say, in the world of inyone bitochen, and that is Rabbi Saul said, it should be efshir al pi derech hateva. We do enough ishtadlus that it should be possible al pi derech hateva, that we should have the hatzlocha that we want. And the rationale is, because since Hashem doesn't want us to rely on miracles, when you make it efshar al pi derech hateva, possible al pi natural causes, then you're not relying on miracles, because it is possible naturally. That's his rationale, and that I think is a good. Now I ask you, is it efshar al pi derech hateva to raise good children today? I don't know. I'm not sure. There's certainly infinite invasions, tevadika invasions, that are making that very difficult for us. So, I don't know. But we certainly at least have to do what's efshar al pi derech hateva to raise the type of children that we want. Number one. Number two, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. It's a mitzvah on a father to be mechanech his children. Therefore, when it comes to a mitzvah, we certainly don't have a right to say, oh, habitochen, I'm a potter for the mitzvah. You know, habitochen, I'm going to sleep late, I won't say krishma, habitochen. Well, that's a little bit more exaggerated, but it's the same thing. You're mechuyev in a mitzvah, habitochen. You know, you have to buy matzah for Pesach, or bake matzah for Pesach. You got to get an esrog and a lulav, habitochen. It's going to be brought. Yeah, if we lived in the midbar, we were on that level, then together with the mon that morning, they would bring the lulav and esrog and the matzah. But well, maybe the mon would be matzah on Pesach, I don't know. But we have to do a shtadlus, and especially it should be efshal b'derech hateva, and especially because it's a mitzvah, and it's a great mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that's compelling on many levels. Because not only is it the chiyuv of a father to be mechanech his children, but we have many other chiyuvim. Because there's a din of arvus, kol Yisrael arevim zebuzeh. And the din of arvus is measured, the Gemara says, by whether it's biyodeinu limchis. Are we capable of doing something to guide a person in the right direction or to prevent a person from doing something wrong? Then the din of arvus says that we're responsible. Not only are we're responsible as if we ourselves did or didn't do whatever is appropriate, that act. I'll bring you a very interesting raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Shabbos, Nun Dalit, I think, Porosa Sharabalozab and Azario Hoyoyoitse Britsua Ben Karneo Shalabitsun Chachomim. The Poro of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah would go out with some type of a ribbon on its horns on Shabbos, and the Chachomim didn't like that. You know, an animal's not supposed to do melocha either. And this ribbon was considered not for the benefit of the animal, and only for the benefit of the owner, and therefore it was considered carrying, and the behem was not allowed to do it, because the behem is only allowed to do a melocha on Shabbos for its own benefit. Fine. So the Gemara says it wasn't Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's porah. It was his neighbor's porah. But he could have stopped it. He could have told the neighbor, hey, the Chachamim don't like that. And he didn't. Midin arvus, Chazal said, Paroso Sharabalozab and Azaria. Not that you're responsible for, an accomplice to a crime. It's like you did it. It's like your Porah went out, the same thing. Chazal were literal. So it's a serious obligation, certainly for our children. We have a din of arvus. Again, if there is anything that's biyodeinu limchis, if we do have any power, but hopefully we have some, and that's that too. Then one further thing. We do have influence. We just may not know how to use it. And that's the key. And if there's a din arvus, if it's biyodeinu limchis, so I want to ask you a question. Right now, I don't know how to influence my kid. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I can't fathom. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they want. They're living in a different world. They're coming from a different planet. They talk a different language. You know, I hope you can't relate to what I'm saying. But, you know, anyway. So my kid's like this. So now I want to ask you a question. Let's say that I don't know what to do. So it's not biyodi limchois, so I'm potter. What if I could learn what to do? Is there still a ptur in the din arvus? I would suggest that biyodeinu limchois doesn't mean that I can directly right now with my fist stop it. But if I could go upstairs and get a stick and then come down and then be able to stop it that way, I'd be mechuyif to go up and get the stick and to stop it that way. If I could learn how to deal with these issues, then I would say to that's biyodeinu limchis. Because I could do something about it. I just got to put in a little effort. I got to do my homework. I have to, you know, find out. So I would say that today, too, to a great extent, there is a biyodeinu limchis in chinuch. Okay. All this having been said, I want to touch on some broad strokes of what I believe is a chinuch that can truly reach our children. And it really has two parts to it. And this was really what I was talking about yesterday. And the first part is prevention. There is what to be done early on enough before the signs of the telltale signs of rebellion or disenchantment or disinterest or indifference or whatever develop. And that's prevention. That's one piece. The second piece is intervention. When things are already getting a little rough and they're moving a little bit in the wrong direction, what can we do? I want to suggest, and it's my humble opinion, that both the prevention and the intervention are pretty much the same schoira. It's pretty much the same material. It's just a question of the application and, you know, how you present it and how you get them and how you get them to talk. But basically, the issues are the same. The prevention issues are really the same issues that weren't prevented, and now in the intervention, they have to be presented with maybe one twist, which we'll come to. I would also like to suggest, and this was the thesis that I presented, that whether it's teenagers going off the derech, or today preteens, you know. I remember a 10, 11-year-old threatening, you know, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going off the derech. You know, I mean, that's today the biggest threat. We used to have all kinds of, I'll commit suicide. You don't have to commit suicide anymore. All you have to do is go off the derech, you know. So, like, but, or whether it's adults who are drifting, or drifted, or disenchanted, or have run away, or it's the language they use, that wasn't my language, of diving off the derech, you know. I said, it's the same. The same formula, it's the same information. It's really universal all across the board. So I'd like to discuss just a few of these things today and suggest that together with our tefillahs, and you need a lot of tefillahs. Oh, you need a lot of tefillahs. And it's probably the surest thing that we have. And as we've discussed here many times, if we can bring ourselves to turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, I'm counting on you. And in a sense, in chinuch, we can have more bitochen. Because we've mentioned here numerous times that one of the forces, one of the situations that bring to bitochen is desperation. I have no one else to turn to. I'm counting on you because there's nothing I can do. We, as parents, for the most part, definitely have times, if not all the time, that we can relate to that feeling. What do I care? What am I? You're the only one who could do it. I can't. I don't know what to do. Where do I begin? So I think that, you know, we have to learn what we have to do, but we have, ultimately it's our tefillahs, and it's an opportunity for enhanced bitochen, and maybe that's why we're going through what we're going through, to bring the Klal Yisrael to a higher level of bitochen. Anyway, okay, so I'd like to suggest just a few things. Number one, I'd like to suggest that ultimately everything is about happiness. And the definition of happiness is validation. Yishur. Ashrei yoshvei beisecho. The sherish is yishur. And that is validation. Feeling good about myself. When I grow up in an environment of Yiddishkeit and I feel good about myself, or when the significant others, the parents and their teachers and those that are the mentors and being mashpia on the Yiddish, on me in the Yiddishkeit, when they make me feel good about myself, they have me. I'm yours. I'm theirs. Whatever you say. Everything you say, I want to believe. Everything you tell me to do, I want to do. Because you make me feel good about myself. You become the most important person in the world. Now, this requires, I think, a lot of analysis from many different sides. Love is very validating. Sipurna defines love as sheyismach o'yehi b'malas haneah. That's Sipurna Nakdomah to Shir HaShirim. The lover rejoices in the qualities of the one he loves. So therefore, an expression of love says, you have quality. If I love you, you have quality. That's beautiful. And that validates and makes me feel good. The problem is that for parents, that doesn't go all the way. My mother loves me. My grandmother loves me. She's programmed. It's genetic. It's her job. She's paid for it. What other choice does she have? It doesn't say how valid I am. It doesn't say how valid I am. You know, especially the parents today who coined a new expression. Oh, I love my child. I just don't like him. That means you're invalidating me. And when I sense it, so parental love is not as powerful as it might be because of the fact that they don't attribute it necessarily to their milus, rather to this genetic or natural type of a thing. On the other hand, when that one who is pre-programmed to love me puts me down or doesn't seem to hold from me, oh, that's the most devastating thing in the world. Criticism, is the most devastating. Because the one who by nature is supposed to hold from me puts me down like that, criticizes me all the time. It's devastating. So parental love can elevate minimally, I would say modestly, you know, to a certain level. Parental criticism can destroy. Yaakov Avinu was afraid to be Mechiach. Reuven Rashi says at the beginning of Dvorim, on what he had done. Why? Until he was on his deathbed. And he apologizes to Reuven on the deathbed and he says, I wasn't Mechiach you before because I was afraid that if I were to be Mechiach you earlier on, you would leave me Lidobek be'esav ochi, to join up with my brother Esav. Reuven the Tzaddik, who had already done tshuva for what he did, and Yaakov, who knew how to give teichocha in the most gentle way, was afraid to reprimand Reuven on what he did, because he's afraid he would go to Esav noch, to Esav, to join up with Esav because he's upset with his father. So you got to be very careful. And it's the criticism is the antithesis of validation, and validation is the key to happiness. And when I am a source of my child's happiness, meaning his validation, which makes him feel good about himself, I am in an unusually influential position. I would say it's biyodi limchois, it's biyodi lashpia, it's biyodi lahadrich. I could do anything. Well, see, the kids don't need criticism. I disagree with that. Inappropriate actions need guidance that they're inappropriate. But I would suggest never the child, only the action, and not b'shas ma'isa, at a different time. And I would suggest over dinner in a fancy restaurant is the best place. You know, or when you've taken him or given, if you took him up on a private plane and he's up on top of the mountains and he's all excited, you know what I mean? Like, because that's very important. We're having a good time, we're okay, we're friendly, we're communicating, we're close. Okay, then maybe I could sneak in a little bit. Not about you, you're good. But this particular behavior is not. So we got to be very careful. You're right, 100%, and that's our responsibility, but it has to be done in the right way. Now, a corollary to this is, this is one that people don't like to hear so much. We have to respect our children. Oh, we thought the children have to respect us. They do. But if you want them to respect you, you got to respect them. And if you want them to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to respect them. And if you want them to feel good about themselves, you got to respect them. Because respect validates. When you respect me, I must be, because you are the most important person in my life, and you know me better than anybody else, and you respect me. Now, I don't mean stand up when the kid walks into the room, and don't sit in his seat or things like that, but respect his time, respect his feelings, respect his space, respect his thoughts, his ideas, his questions. Reckon with him as an individual. Consult with him. Get his opinion. Your opinion is important to me. Makes a massive difference in terms of how good they feel about themselves. And this is key. Now, as I mentioned before, this is also an intervention strategy. Because if someone is already drifting, and I become the person, and usually when there's drift, there's a lot of invalidation. Most of the drifters don't feel good about themselves because they've gained enough to know that this is the important stuff, and if they're drifting from it, something's wrong with me. It's not working for me, but I know it's working for thousands of years already, and it's not working for me, something's wrong with me. So even though they blame everybody around, inside they're internalizing it. So validation is, I become, when a mentor, and usually a parent is not the best one to get someone who's gone off already because there's too much baggage and too much personal friction and all the things that have happened. But if I become a mentor and I make this person feel good about himself, I'm in a tremendously powerful, influential position. Okay, now, so we spoke about feeling good about themselves in terms of love, in terms of respect, in terms of not putting them down. There's something else that I think is also very, very important. And this is this is an issue that we may be falling short in our chinuch. One of the most invalidating feelings that a human being can have is if he doesn't have a sense of purpose. Any shrink will tell you that if someone walks into his office and says, I have no point in living, or what's the point in living, the suicide watch has to begin. Because if there's no point to live, then why should I live? Why should I go through it? There's a lot of misery in this life, too. What do I need it for? There's no point. There's no purpose. They have to have a sense of purpose in living. Now, unfortunately, this was a significant point that I made, and I think it's oh, thank you. I think it's very critical. A lot of our chinuch to our children and to our students in the moistis, we take too much for granted. The parents can take for granted that they're learning everything in school. The schools take for granted that the basics of Yadus they learned at home. They understand why the world was created. They know the purpose of creation. They understand who Hashem is. They have an image of Hashem. They understand all of his involvement in this world. They know what emunah, they know what bitochen, they know what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. And memela, then we have information to learn. We got to start with Aleph Beis, and then with the Chumash, and then with the Mishnah. That is information. But what's it all about? Why? Where's it coming from? Where are we going? What's the purpose? And if a person can learn and do mitzvahs and doesn't have a sense of focused, an acute vision of what my purpose is, it's the most invalidating thing in the world. I have no purpose. What's the purpose? Just do and do and do and do it. But what's the purpose? What's the point? What am I doing? What's it all about? And that's critical. They have to have a sense of purpose. Now, purpose is a very tricky thing. Because if I choose my own purpose, who am I fooling? You know, my purpose is to eradicate the mice in Cedarhurst. Okay, it's a nice purpose, you know. I guess you guys would be happy if I did that. But you know something? Maybe I could serve a higher purpose. Could be. Maybe I could educate the kids in Cedarhurst. I would say that's a higher purpose, you know. Or eliminate the rats. You know, something. So, Mimela, if I choose my own purpose, I can't really feel good about myself. I need to know my true purpose. The only one who knows the true purpose of this creation is the creator, is the manufacturer. The manufacturer won't talk to me for whatever the reason may be, then I have to consult his manual. So they have to know that there is a purpose to creation. They have to know what that purpose to creation is. They have to know where to find that purpose to creation. They have to know there is a manual. They have to know the creator revealed that manual in an incontrovertible way. At Maimon Har Sinai, in front of millions of eyewitnesses, where people heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking directly to them, and a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they recognized from all the miracles that he did in Mitzrayim, or Noichi Hashem Elokecha Shalom Aleichem. Remember Mitzrayim? C'est moi. That's me. I'm the guy that did all of that. Hashem Yitzeichu Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in front of millions of eyewitnesses. One. Not only that, if he didn't, for whatever the reason may be, and the reason seems to be Klal Yisrael themselves said, "Daber atoy imonu v'nishmo v'daber elokim imonu penomus." They were afraid to hear it all from Hashem. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit. Moshe Rabbeinu was the teacher. Hashem appointed Moshe Rabbeinu lifnei am vo'edo. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, the pasuk says in Yisrael, "Hinei anochi bo elecha ba'av he'onon." I'm appearing to you in the thickness of this cloud. Bavur yishma ho'om bedabri imoch. That everybody, the nation should hear that I speak to you, that you're the authorized spokesman. You're my man, you're my teacher. I'm going to teach you and you're going to teach them. V'gam becho yaminu le'olam. publicly. Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed publicly. Klal Yisrael heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to them publicly. This Torah was written down not in the form of events that took place in history, written down as eyewitness testimony. The Torah repeats maybe 100 times, you witnessed, you saw, you heard, remember what you witnessed, remember what happened, remember, and again, we pass that down to the next generation, and it was passed down accurately because it's been read, the same Torah written over. Each Sheva had a Sefer Torah, and it's always been read publicly, and every time the Balkaira even reads a word wrong, oy, what we do, I'm not sure how to do it, but we do it anyway, you know. And so, and they have to have this sense, you mean we have a manual? There's a manual. That means I can find out my purpose in life. All of a sudden I can feel good about myself. And we take this for granted. We take for granted, of course, what happened at Har Sinai? Come on, wait, kid stuff, you know? Everybody knows what happened at Har Sinai. You know, everybody knows Hashem created the world. Everybody knows why He created the world. Yeah, why? Why did He create the world? Do you know there's a steer in why He created the world? Do you ever think about that? Bereshis Bara Elokim, what does that say? Mishpat, right? Olam Chesed Yibone, what does that say? Chesed. What if the kid asked that question? What do you tell him? Oh, the stira. You know what the answer is? The greatest chesed is mishpat. Because when I earn something, it's mine. There's no namadik isufa. I'm not embarrassed. I appreciate it. Hashem created the world, Bereshis Bara Elokim, all of it died to later. Rashi says there, but Mishatif, the Midas Arachamim. But Bereshis Bara Elokim is not a stira to chesed. That's the ultimate chesed. What's the highest level of tzedakah? Give a guy a job, right? So he can earn it. That's the highest level of tzedakah. There's no namadikis. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. That's what it's all about. So, but we have to understand, they have to know creation and this, and there's a Maimon Har Sinai and what happened, and these are historic facts, and they have to know that there's testimony to Maimon Har Sinai to this very day. They have to know, and we've done this, I mean, at some of the seminars, it's an amazing thing, in front of judges, that the judge would say, you have proven the case beyond a reasonable doubt. In my courtroom, it would have been decided that you proved that the Torah was given by God to the Jewish people at Har Sinai 3,300 plus years ago. I had such experiences. This is what it is, and they have to have this sense. There's two burdens that our kids, or many of our kids, feel very acutely. One is the constant emphasis on learning. I have to learn so much, so many hours, so many long hours. In some of the yeshivas, they're first starting to learn English at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or later, I don't know. You know, it's so many long hours. And tefillah, so many long hours of davening. And it seems to get longer and longer. And it's just, again, the same thing every day, repeating again and again and again and again. These are two, and just two of many, but these are two big ones that, you know, disturb a lot of people. A lot of people are just a turn off. And then they ask the question, why does such an emphasis on learning? Why do we have to learn Torah? They don't really get answers. In fact, well, why so much davening? Why repetition? Why does God need so much praise? Why, you know? And our great-grandparents had a very succinct answer for all these whys. Well, my grandmother used to say, vi is a crooked letter, but that's besides the point. But they had a very good answer for that. They said, shteit geschriben in the Torah. Torah says so. And that turned off more people to Yiddishkeit than anything that we have even today. That's an answer. I mean, it's true. It's the ultimate truth. But that doesn't satisfy not my curiosity, not my desires, not my confusion, not my questions, not my social influence. So I need something real. So there has to be an answer. Why do we do this? And it's very, very troubling that they don't feel that they're hearing such answers. And then tefillah, why daven so much? And then if you say about the learning and about the tefillah, and especially about the tefillah, it's easier to understand, but it applies to both, that we're forging a deeper, an ever-deepening relationship with Hashem, they look at you as if you're out of your mind. Vosmentos, a relationship with Hashem. What kind of... they know one relationship with Hashem. A couple of their friends have told them, I have a good relationship with God. I don't bother him, he don't bother me. That's a good relationship. But I don't know what you're talking about, a relationship. Yet, relationship with Hashem is the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. What did Hillel tell the goy who wanted to learn the whole Torah al regel achas? Madalochsani lechavroch leisavid. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. That's the whole Torah. The rest is just explanation. I'll go and study. And Rashi in one shot says, Lechavroch refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your ultimate friend. So that the concept of Kol HaTorah Kula is based on my relationship with my ultimate friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kol HaTorah Kula. And yet, what are you talking about? I would like to, this is an endless topic. It can go on for months. But just it's a couple of brief strokes. I would like to suggest the following. Just a technique first. In Yonah de Yoyma, a very powerful rabbis, every rabbi takes advantage of two things. The parsha, and the current events. Why? He wants to give Musa. He really wants to tell his people where they should get off, you know? But that's resented. I resist. When you talk about the parsha, he's not talking to me. It happened to be in the parsha, you know? It just happens the right things are always in the right parsha, but that's besides the point. In the parsha, he's talking about the parsha, you know? Like, it's not so threatening. That's number one. And in Yonah Diyom, two current events. I talk about current events. Okay, the rabbis talk about current events. That's what they do, you know. We got to keep people abreast of what's going on. We have to analyze what's going on and give them a Torah perspective, and everything is fine. So this serves as a good opportunity to educate with minimal defense mechanisms, with minimal resistance. I think we had such an opportunity. We still have such an opportunity. Those blessed elections that we had recently, we showed a side of society that was mind-boggling. And it happened to be that most of it was taking place in Parshas Noach, whether it was the Chomos, the Gezel, or whether it was the Arayis, nobody seemed to care too much. Nobody seemed to care too much. Anyone who was in favor of one candidate, no matter what schmutz they heard, nah. Anyone who's in favor of the other candidate, no matter what schmutz they heard, didn't affect them. That's what most of the reports, most of the surveys seem to say. So what's going on over here? What happened to the Judeo-Christian ethic? There's a Bible. The Jews, the Hebrews, gave the world a Bible. And the world, the civilization endorsed that Bible. Christianity endorsed that Bible. This is a Christian country. The Judeo-Christian ethic. Where's all the morality? Down the tubes. Put that on here. Because like that. So now here, there's a very strange thing. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. There's no such thing as moral values in a vacuum. It doesn't matter whether they were negotiated by people. It doesn't matter whether the founding fathers enshrined them in the Constitution. It doesn't matter where they come from. And I'll tell you a secret. I hate to say this because it's wrong, but it's right. In a certain sense, it's not enough that it came from God. It's not enough that it came from God. God given values. God said, this is what it is. No. Authority is always contradicted and contested. Authority is even resented. Authority is rebelled against. Authority is too burdensome, too limiting, too overwhelming, too shackling. And I can't handle it. What's the secret of the Torah values that continue to this very day? It's the Limud HaTorah. Why? Imagine, think about it for a moment. You stood at Har Sinai. You heard, you saw the Bnei Yoelim in action in Mitzrayim. You heard him say, "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha asher tzeisicho me'eretz Mitzrayim." You heard it yourself at Har Sinai. Do you think you can make an egel a day later? It took 40 days even for them. The next day you couldn't. You stood by Kriyas Yamsuf. You reached the highest levels of emunah vayaminu v'Hashem v'Moshe Avdei Masheroso Shivcha alayam l'roa ben Buzi ben Avosoi. Zekeli v'Nveyu. You recognized Hashem's Hashkocha. You think that you could sin as soon as you came out of there? No. You know how many days it takes? 3 days. Vayelchu shleishes yomim bamidbar v'loy motzu moyim. Zok the Gemara in Bava Kama ein mayim elo teira dershi rishimoy somru, that they went 3 days without learning. Vayiloinu, they started with tainus on Hashem. That's why they were masakin kriyas hatoira Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, so there should never be 3 days without learning. They reached the highest levels of nevuah, vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi. The Shifcha Layam saw more than Yechezkel Bebuzi saw in his nevuah. And what do we say? 3 days without learning? Ayiloinu. The Limud HaTorah is the only formula for keeping us loyal to our God-given principles, to our God-inspired emunah, to the fullest knowledge that this is the Dvar Hashem. And the system for it is really very simple. Not only is it the study, so we're constantly reviewing, because the reality is, we're not reviewing everything all the time. You know, that's what they say, Reb Meir Simcha said about the Rogatchover. He said, the Rogatchover, they say, had a good memory. So Reb Meir Simcha said, he didn't have a good memory, he just learned it. He did everything well. He was able to learn Kol HaTorah. But we can't do that. But it's something else. The secret is that we're connected to Har Sinai. Chazal say, "Asher noich mitzavcho hayoim bechol yoim voyoim yir benecho kachadoshim." Every day, it's like we're learning something new. Chazal say that a person should hayoim. It should be keilu kiblo hayoim mehar Sinai. When we learn the Torah, we have to feel, we connect. Hashem's teaching me the Torah. He's revealing His Torah. I'm studying the Torah, Hashem. It's as if He's giving it to me today from Har Sinai. We know from the Yam Suf it took 3 days. From Har Sinai it took 40 days. If I do it all day, every day, I got a chance of survival. Chazal say, Mishi yesh lo tefillin b'roishoy, mezuzah b'pischoy, tzitzis b'begodov, v'divrei Torah b'fiv, muftach lo shelo yechta. If he has tefillin on his head, if he has Torah, if he has mezuzah, if he has tzitzis, and he has divrei Torah, he won't sin. And I dare say that divrei Torah is the ikar. Why? Because Chazal say, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halavai oisi ozvu v'toirosi shomoru, shehamoyer shebo machziru lemutav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai they should leave me all my mitzvahs. Stop doing everything. As long as they kept learning the Torah, because the Moir Shabbat Torah, that light, that excitement, that Maimon Har Sinai, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that here and now, present tense, in reality, connection to Hashem, that will bring them back. And the truth of the matter is that we don't say that about tefillin. It doesn't say, Halavai oisi yozvu v'tefillin shli shamoru, or tzitzis shli shamoru. I tefillin reminds us of the mitzvahs, tzitzis reminds us of the mitzvahs, mezuzah reminds us of the mitzvahs. It's not just a reminder. We need more than a reminder that this is a divine directive. The Constitution doesn't stand a chance. That's man-made, okay? The Judeo-Christian ethic, well, part of it is man-made, you know? But what only, it's not only the fact that it's God-given, it's constantly renewed. It's regenerated. The Limud HaTorah reconnects me with Har Sinai every day. And it's that power, that light, that excitement, that I'm talking, the Dvar Hashem. Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, it says, Yishokeidim Shikois Pihu. So he says that the Klal Yisrael and the Golos craves that Hashem should once again kiss them, peh el peh, like He did at Har Sinai. When He taught us the Torah, it's as if He showed us the ultimate love. And Rashi says at the end there, when Klal Yisrael is mishtasheya b'Torah, when we delight in the Torah, we remember oz maskirin doidov miyayin u'mishar avosam oisay. We remember that love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us, more pleasure than all bosa mishta v'yayin, and the love that we showed for him. The Divrei Torah, when we study the Torah, we delight in the Torah, we feel that the connection to Har Sinai, then we relive Maimon Har Sinai. So it's as if the Jew can literally feel that every day he connects with Har Sinai. And because of that feeling, that's what keeps him in line. That's where it comes from. That's where the sensitivity comes from. That's where the commitment comes from. That's where the dedication comes from. That's where the inspiration comes from. Because I'm at Har Sinai, I go every day. I spend so much time each day at Har Sinai. I spend every spare moment at Har Sinai. And it's as if I'm standing today, Hayoim, it's fresh. It's as if today I'm Mekabel at Har Sinai. It's a whole different experience. It's a whole different sfora. And I'll tell you, I believe that that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't believe in the miracle because of the miracles he did. Because one who believes in miracles, he can always question maybe who knows what. But what did we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? B'maimon Har Sinai. Because we saw it with our eyes, because we heard it with our ears. We heard Hashem speaking, we heard the Kilo Yisu Brokim and the Onon Va'arofel, and Hashem speaking to us, and Hashem speaking to Moshe, Moshe, Leichem, Or Lehem, Kach Lekach. That's the Loshna of the Rambam. He heard Hashem talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how we know Moshe Rabbeinu is the Novi Hashem. I want to ask you a question. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, even though he says that's not the basis for our emunah. There's no mitzvah to remember Maimon Har Sinai every day. The Ramban lists it as one of the Tariag mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't. But the Rambam says that's the whole basis for Teras Moshe, is Maimon Har Sinai. I believe the answer is very simple. We don't need memory. We go to Har Sinai every day. We make a brocha, the Torah says, Ashebocha Arbonu Mikol Amin, that's a brocha on Maimon Har Sinai. Not just on the Limud HaTorah, it's on the Maimon Har Sinai. Hashebocha Arbonu Mikol Amin V'Nosan Lono Esteroso Nosein HaTorah. He continues to give it a Loshon Hoive, present tense. That connection to Torah can be so powerful that that's really the secret of our ability to maintain the moral course under all kinds of negative influences. And that's really the secret. That's why we're called the people of the book. We're not called the people of the book because we gave the book to the world. We're called the people of the book because we're always carrying the book right here. You'll never catch us without a book. We're always thinking about the book. It's the book. There's a very obscure halacha in Hilchas Beis Akisei. No, it's in Hilchas Brochas, Brochas HaTorah. It says, if you go into the Beis HaKiseh and you're mafsik, let's say, on something that you're not allowed to do there, you have to make another brocha. Let's say tefillin. If you weren't allowed to wear the tefillin, so you have to make another brocha, whatever, halacha. Why don't you have to make another Brochas HaTorah? You're not allowed to learn. So the Mishnah Berurah says, because there's halachas that are nageh in everything we do. So we're always thinking Torah. A Jew lives Torah. Before he takes something, he has to think what brocha to make. Then he has to figure out, did I make enough? Do I have to make a brocha achreina? Is it kosher? Is it this? Is it that? Do I have to go to here? What's the time? After that, marva. So we're always, even if we're not day and night in the depths of learning, but and that's what keeps us. It's the limud ha-Torah. It's the limud, and it's the limud is lemaisa al menas lasis. That's what the Gemara says in Yerushalmi. It says, ha-loimed shelo al menas lasis, noyach lo shelo nivra. If he learns not for the purpose of doing, it would have been better off not being created. So you say, right now we're learning Yevomus. What's Yevomus for the purpose of? There it says, you can learn Ben Seiru Meira, which the Gemara says, Lohoye Veloyeye. But I want to know, what would be the halacha in the case if there would be? Which means I am committing myself to follow the Dvar Hashem. I'm studying the Dvar Hashem, I'm analyzing the Dvar Hashem, and I want to know what would be the Dvar Hashem. Do you know, anyone who's familiar with the learning in yeshivas, somebody has a chakira, makes a poll. Is it this or is it that? Is it a din of this or is it that? And the first question that's always asked is, l'mai nafka mina, If there's no nafka mina l'halacha, I'm not interested in what you have to say. You want to be a philosopher? Go take a philosophy course. Don't bother me. We are interested. Halacha l'maisa. My nafka mina l'halacha. If not, we're not interested in all your chakiras and all your svaras and all your nonsense. That's it. So we have this ongoing connection to the source of truth, which is Har Sinai itself. And we can be mishtashay about Torah and feel that Mazkir doid of miyayin, as if we were standing by Har Sinai, and I believe that's the source of the source of our strength, of our moral strength. And if our kids would begin to realize this, that this is what distinguishes us. But the hour is late. But there's one thing we have to mention too. You'll talk to many people and they'll say, "Well, I don't feel that way when I learn. I don't know what to, I fall asleep actually during the shiur, you know, and I can't wait. I look at my watch 100 times and I can't wait till I get out of here, and like the Rebbe is boring and the Gemara is this and this one is that, and I don't enjoy this and I don't enjoy that." Some people, like I say, I only enjoy halacha because they feel that that's lamais. You know, some people say they're not interested in halacha. Well, that's besides the point. You know, so what's the pshat? So I just want to suggest one thing. I want to tell you a radical thing, a thought I just had this morning for the first time. I said it over to some people, and I can't vouch for it, but it's so powerful. I wish it were true. It's so powerful. You know, in all the brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei, the chasima is me'ein the request. You say, Refa'inu Hashem, Kel Melech Roifei Nemot, Boruch Ato Hashem, Roifei Chole Am Yisrael. Borei Choleinu, Boruch Ato Hashem, Mivorech Hashonim. Teka B'Shefer, L'Kabitz Gilu Yoseinu, M'Kabitz Nitche Am Yisrael. Shma Koleinu, Boruch Ato Hashem, Shomea Tefilo. Okay, fine. I want to ask you a question. In the first brocha in Shmon Esrei, we say, Ato Choinu Lodom Das, Omelam Yedadosh Bino, Choneinu Meitcho, I don't know how you daven, but anyway, we say Deo Bino Bahaskil. Okay? Deo, the Mefarshim say, is knowledge, information. Bino is the wisdom to understand, Mevin Dover Mitoch Dover, to analyze and to be able to extract a concept and apply it. And Haskel refers, the Mefarshim say, to being Masik Shmaitzel Liba the Hilchasa, like it says, they use a Loshen Epis, what? Application. Not application, and the authority, the authoritative decision. This is the way it is. This is the ultimate. This is the, what's the word? Halocha Kamoisa B'chol Mokim. That's the thing. Halocha is like him, this is Haskim. I want to ask you a question. The Chasima falls short. Boruch Atu Hashem, Choinein HaDo'as. Do'as is just the knowledge. What about the Bino? What about the Haskel? Always bothered me, that question. So I thought of a radical answer today. Again, the goal is we want Chenin HaDo'as to say that Hashem does all of the above, right? That He gives Deo, Bino, Haskel, even though we're only saying that He's the Chenin HaDo'as. If I know that Hashem is Chenin HaDo'as, if Hashem gives knowledge, information, then I know He must give Bino and Haskel. Because to give knowledge without Bino and Haskel is a criminal act. How can you give a person knowledge that he can't know what to do with it? He doesn't know how to infer one thing from another. He doesn't know how to move with it. He doesn't know how to apply it. It's academic knowledge. It's just there. It's facts. But it's not lemaisa. He can't deal with it. That's a crime. It's a rishis. It can't be. If Hashem is Chayin Hadas, then for sure He'll give us the Bino Haskel to deal with it. Okay, so I don't know if you like that, if you don't, but let's leave it for a moment. We have to make sure that our kids don't just get information, that they get Bino. They have to be taught how to think. They have to be taught how to be Mevin Dover Mitoch Dover. Medama Milsa Le Milsa. That's where the excitement in learning is. That's where the thrill is. That's where the challenge is. That's what makes them feel that they're standing in Har Sinai. I don't understand. I have this problem, that problem, the other problem. There's a machlokes, and there's this, and I can't, and I'm so confused, this and that. 1,000 different confusions. And then all of a sudden, I try, I figure out. I see something, and then another thing, and it clicks. I feel Yishokeinim and Shikois Piu. Hashem is revealing Himself to us. The Goyin says, Yogato v'loy motzosa al ta'amin. So he asked the question. Yegia means effort. Mitzia is an accident. You find the mitzia. What do you think? Yogata, Motsosa? He says, when a person puts in the effort to understand Torah, Hashem gives him the answers as a mitzia. He finds it. He didn't earn it. He can't accomplish it on his own. It's too much for him. The human mind can't fathom the depths of the Darkei Hashem. But he gives him a mitzia. A person, if a person has bino v'haskel, if a person is trained in thinking, if a person, you know, if he gets to understand, you know, Ben Franklin said, tell me I'll forget, show me I'll remember, involve me, I'll understand. If he's involved, if it's interactive, if there's excitement, if there's fighting, he learns the tools of learning. Such a person delights. And since the hour is late, I'd just like to conclude with one more thing. This is a very strange bracha that we make in the morning. We say Birchas HaTorah Asher Kedushonu Lasu B'Divrei Torah. Then we say V'Harev No Hashem Elokeinu. Make it pleasant. The Divrei Torosko Befinu Ufiyamcha Beis Yisrael. In our mouths and in the mouths of your people. Then we say V'Nia Anachnu V'Tzetzoeinu V'Tzetzoyamcha Beis Yisrael Kulonu Yoidei Shemecha. And we will be in our children and the children of Klal Yisrael. Why don't we ask that the Torah should be sweet in the mouths of our children? Very strange. We say V'harav No Hashem Elokeinu B'finu U'v'fiyamcha Beis Yisrael V'niyah Anach. It's not that we're not worried about our children, because we say the result should be V'niyah Anach Nuvetzetzoeinu V'tzetzoyamcha Beis Yisrael. So why don't we ask it should be V'harav No? Again, a suggestion. I would what? If it'll be sweet by us, then it's contagious. If that kid sees that his father sits down to learn, and he feels that he's carried away to another world, to Maimon Har Sinai, and he sees the excitement, and he sees the passion, and he sees the thrill, you don't have to daven for him that he should enjoy it. He'll run after it, because everybody wants that pleasure. There's no pleasure like it in the world. Somebody once pointed out, when you walk into a library, you hear silence. When you walk into a Bes Medrash, you hear music. It's a different world. Goyim walk into a Bes Medrash and they're shocked. In our neighborhood, they come around Simchas Torah, and the police chief and the fire chief and Audrey Pfeffer and Phil Goldfeder, and they all come, you know, to the Bes Medrash in the middle of at night for the Hakofas. They come by all the time. They make the rounds over there. They stand mamish, aghast. What's going on? This is when, if people see the Simcha that we have in the Torah, and they'll be contagious, and they'll be able to feel that too. Anyway, these are just a smattering, a beginning of some of the ideas, I think, that we have to work on to assure that our children, that we're doing the maximum that we can to lead them in the right derech. And I do believe that not only does this work, but I can tell you that even for those that have gone off, when you revisit their issues, whether they're teenagers or adults, you can rewire the system. And especially when you're validating them. And here I must have to leave with one thing. And this I said, and I'm afraid it's going to be misquoted and taken the wrong way over there, but I can't help it. The first thing you have to do to anyone who goes off is to validate it. What I mean? I understand why you went. I have. It makes sense. Because I'll tell you, the most interesting in this I've learned from hundreds of cases of experience over the years. When someone goes off, he blames the parents. Oh, my parents, my mother, my father, my this one, my that one. He hates the Rebbeim, they're hypocrites, the Rashivas, the from people. He blames everyone, including HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in his heart of hearts, he blames himself. He realizes, he senses, he feels, because he knows what's right. And the minute that you redeem him from that conviction that you're okay, understand where you're coming from. All these people were good, they meant well, but they didn't exactly understand your needs and this and that and the other. But you're okay, you're not guilty. You're not guilty, that's guilt is a different kind of word. But I understand where you're coming from, and your reaction is normal, and we have to deal with it now. I am now a hero, because I redeemed him from the heaviest burden on his heart. And I assure you that everyone who runs away runs with his feet in that direction and with his eyes looking back, who's going to schlep me back? And no matter what they tell you, it's a lie. No matter what they tell you, give me an hour with them and I'll have them admitting that, of course. Now, there is a problem. Kids that go off the derech are more likely to come back right now. Why? Because they look forward to children and family and marriage, and they know they want to have Yiddish and Achas. They want to have a loyal wife. They want to have a good, wholesome family, and they know that's not in the street out there. So there's in their heart, and they'll even admit it to you, I want to have some fun now, and then I want to come back. The adults already been there, done that. They had that. So it's harder, because it didn't work for me. So you have to show them how it can work for him. You have to show them it didn't work because it doesn't work. It didn't work because you didn't know how to work it. You didn't understand the basic principles. You didn't understand what it means a relationship with Hashem. You didn't understand the prominence of Torah. You didn't understand how the Torah makes us feel good about ourselves. You didn't understand that Yiddishkeit is all about happiness. You didn't understand the purpose and the benefits for everything that you do, and so forth and so on and so on. And hopefully that can make all the difference.